The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, Your Questions, episode 499. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Majoma.
Not even 1,000 people.
Man, shit is crazy right now. All right, we're just going to jump into it, man. No Chris action tonight. Brett will show up if he shows up. We got to talk about Concord. Or rather, answer some questions about Concord. Because there's some crazy stuff, as Brian said. And I don't know if we talked about Concord on the Thursday show, but I don't know if we talked about the numbers. I don't think we did, because the numbers came out on Friday. The game, like the maximum people playing it was like, less than 700. It was bad. And it never even reached 1,000, as Brian alluded to. We could go on and on about this, but, Jay Shep, he starts off here. By the way, shout out to Jay Shep. My man asked 7 questions tonight. Usually we don't even let more than 2, but we didn't get a lot of questions.
What?
So I will allow it. Oh, I did cut one question. It was about the Xbox Galaxy. I'm like, no one's buying that shit. So I'll keep the other questions, though. We're going to use his main question here as the lead off here. Because he's asking, he goes, Concord is dead on arrival. Is this a good time for Sony to take that Game Pass bag and port it to Xbox? Porting it to Xbox won't save this game.
No, it's not going to save that game. I mean, it's on the platform that'll probably get the most
platforms.
You know, at least, you know, like, yeah, it's your platforms. It's on the PlayStation 5 and it's on the PC. That was good enough for what was the other multiplayer game that they put up? Helldivers 2. So it's like, okay, they already have the enough places with the most saturation of players. And if those people are not biting, there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah, well, we know what's seriously wrong. The game took 8 years to develop. Maybe at the time when those looter shooters or whatever the hero shooters were doing well, maybe it would have done better. But at this point, as we've seen many, many times before, the popularity of these games isn't really what it used to be. You couple that with, let's just be honest, as you can see from the lead image, boring character design, unmemorable, ugly in a lot of cases, barely any advertising, which is interesting, and $40, where usually these games don't cost that much or are free. There's a lot of factors that went into it, you know. And then here's the thing, nobody is surprised by this. You saw the reception it got during the beta phase. Nobody was playing that shit either. The only people that were hyping this game, I know there's exceptions, but for the most part, the only people hyping this game up were other game journalists. Regular players did not give a shit. And as you saw, you know, it, again, we're not exaggerating. Even people who are like fans of this game were like, why the fuck is anyone playing this shit? To contrast this, right? Suicide Squad, the most people that were concurrently playing the game was around 13,500, right? And that was considered a flop at that with those numbers, right? This is like 5% of that. 5% of failure, bro. So this is an absolute L, you know. It's not a good look, you know. It's not a good look. And obviously over, the weekend we had the Xbox guys were having a field day making fun of the Sony guys, obviously. But like again, it doesn't matter what platform this is on. PlayStation, it's on PlayStation and PC. Nobody cared. Xbox guys aren't gonna give a fuck either, because I saw that conversation too. Oh, maybe to support the Xbox, they had a few more players. no one cares. No one cares.
I don't know. I mean, it's like the thing about it is like, what is it? What is the port going to be? Is it just going to be, you know, put it on the Game Pass? Is it going to be just try to attempt to sell it on there? I feel like it'll probably be a lost cause, especially when you look at the factor that even Xbox is looking to offshoot some of their titles onto PlayStation, because they're not making the money that they think that they probably think they should be making off of the titles currently.
Yeah. So, you know? So think about that. That's a great point. It's like, if Xbox is trying to unload or offload its games to PlayStation to hopefully get some like bang or whatever, it's not going to work the other way around, you know?
Yeah. Especially they're looking at their position within the, you know, within it. They're the third guy. They're the third guy down, you know?
Yeah.
And then they would have a better chance of making some money off of putting it on a Switch than an Xbox, just to be honest.
But
Switch audience is not, you know, is not a looter shooter. Their looter shooter or you know, type of, not looter shooter, but like their type of multiplayer game is Splatoon, and that's their version of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, that's their hero shooter. You know.
I'm looking at the Steam sale at the Steam concurrent players right now. Active concurrent players. It's not even the top 100.
Damn.
Like you got games like Starfield that are doing better than this.
Yeah.
Euro Truck Simulator 2 is doing better than this. It's like this game just came out. Like that's crazy for a game coming from one of the top publishers in the game. That took 8 years to develop. It, you know, you would expect and a game that had the gravitas to charge $40. You would expect it to do at least, you know, top 100. But you know, it sucks because they try to catch, you know, magic in a bottle with a, like you guys mentioned, a hero shooter, kind of like Overwatch. But even Overwatch isn't even what Overwatch does what Overwatch used to do. So. It's just going back to this formula, like, and it's crazy because you're trying to get that formula, right? The hero shooter, but the heroes aren't even imaginative. So it's like you're not only are you going to a genre that's dying, but you're using the safest, quote unquote, you know, type of characters. Like there's nothing creative. There's no stylistic, you know, choices that were made. It looks like it's just generic, you know, hero shooters that AI could have popped up 5 years ago.
I wouldn't be surprised, I wouldn't be surprised.
So yeah, I'm not surprised that this is doing bad. I mean, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago that the pre-orders weren't looking good and the beta wasn't doing good. And yeah, I hope Sony takes this as a lesson. Don't pile up with a whole bunch of just, you know, Helldivers 2 was a hit, but you're going to have a lot more misses than hits if you're just going to keep continuing getting to these types of games. And also, I want to echo something Tony mentioned. It's like, yeah, it looks like the only people that were hyped about this game were video game journalists. And shout out to Richard Bailey Jr.
Yeah. All right, good segue there. Rich, what do you think about this game? Just absolutely flopping. What do you think about this game being in a state? What do you think of Concord being in a state of discord?
Oh,
that is a great way to describe it. First and foremost, shout out to my very good friend Carlos Romero for that very good joke. Because if anyone has been listening to Throwdown, you know that I have already been talking badly about this game. So I don't know what the hell Carlos is talking about. But to answer the question, I'm not surprised. Just like Carlos mentioned, they had a beta. That was already an indicator this is going to have some issues. I don't know anything about the pre-order sales, but I mean, the beta, definitely, that was an indicator. And right now, if I'm Firewalk Studios and PlayStation, they saw this coming. When they saw that it wasn't that many people checking out the beta, you see that people were making comparisons of the beta for this and Marvel Rivals, which is like 50,000 people. Obviously, that was available on multiple platforms. But the thing about it is, they saw this coming. So now is a question of what is their strategy going to be moving forward? Are they going to make this free to play? Or is this going to remain at $40 and you're going to try to figure out what content to make for the game? So I don't feel bad for the devs. I know Carlos mentioned there are some journalists that are fans of this game. Well, yes, there are some people that are excited about this game. They're clearly playing a different game than everybody else, but more power to them. I could care less about this game. But hey, if somebody, but I will say this for those, if we do have some people here on the panel that want to check out the game, I'll be sure to get you guys this for Christmas.
I want to bring something up real quick that you kind of made me think about. So yeah, Marvel Rivals is out there right now, and it is a hero shooter. And it's doing well, but why is it doing well? Because it's Marvel, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because it's Marvel, and you know, again, what is the thing about a hero shooter? What is the thing that made Overwatch so popular?
Yeah, it's the character design.
It's the heroes. It's the character designs. Who you look at what Overwatch is doing. You look at what they're doing, even with Marvel Rivals. You know, they're giving their, even though it is Marvel characters, they're still trying to give them their own identities and own like unique looks. You know, in the end, it's like they obviously don't want to just put regular Spider-Man in there. They want to put like a kind of a fun, crazy looking Spider-Man. And I think that's the key, like to a real hero shooter, not just filling quotas. You know, it is literally going in and making really cool looking, compelling looking characters. And I feel like none of those characters, as much Greeblies and things that they have on there, there is nothing about these characters that says, okay, this is my main character. Even with Street Fighter and its simplicity, right? You look at all those characters. You look at Rai. You look at – they all have some sort of factor that makes them attractive to play. You have larger characters like, E. Honda, and you have, like Hugo and a bunch of the other characters in the game. And what things about these characters? You Birdie, you have characters like that, like these unique looking characters are like, okay, yeah, let me try this one out. This character looks cool. And I feel like that's the biggest thing that's missing from the Concord. It's the hero shooter without any heroes in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's a hero shooter without any heroes. That is one of the main Kishak. I gotta read this comment. This thing's hilarious to me. He goes, the porn made from Overwatch also boosted its popularity, but no one is willing to say that. I don't know about but I will say this. I don't think anybody wants to see any porn with these Concord characters. I'll say that.
I mean, again, when you talk about attractive characters, you know, you talk about cool characters. That, to be honest, that part of it is part of it. You know, why would what would compel a person to want to do something like that to one of these licensed characters? Is it because they find them appealing in some way? So, man. You know, I don't know. You know, again, like that is the key to a hero shooter, having appealing, cool looking characters. And that also doesn't matter if what that character looks like. There are so many, you know, there are a lot of characters in Overwatch, all different races, all different shapes and colors, stuff like that. And they all have their they all have their fan bases behind them. Now, what is Concord doing wrong?
Ugly ass characters. Let me rephrase that. Ugly characters with really bad designs. It's a twofer. Like you said, you just named a bunch of characters that have very simple designs but are iconic, right? These character designs in fucking Concord are too fucking busy. There's too much going on.
Yeah, there's a,
you know,
there's a lot. There's too much going on. And then I think it's an interesting thing because like if it was going to be sort of a Guardians of the Galaxy game that it was sort of feeling like initially when it first was advertised, before we found out it was a shooter like that, I was okay with the design because the characters seemed interesting, like personality wise, in that the trailer. But then it got a little bit too much, like they were trying too hard. But I feel like they just needed to have more appealing characters, and I think these characters just seem like a bunch of NPCs that just got made into main characters. Like you have a bunch of characters. Like if you were playing a game, you know, these are the characters that you see hanging around in the background. And you're like, I guess they're cool, whatever. They upgrade my items, you know.
Yeah, pretty much. Because I know there's another quote unquote hero shooter right now. It wasn't the first Ascendant, was it?
Isn't the...
Go ahead.
No, that's more of a looter shooter.
Okay, gotcha. I think
is it Valorant?
No, it was a newer one.
Valorant yeah. is also another one that of is those that has one, very yeah. appealing looking characters. Yeah.
Are you thinking of Deadlock, the Valve one?
Yeah, no, I was actually, I was thinking of the First Ascendant, but it's not a loot hero shooter. But it does have one thing that Concord doesn't, attractive looking character. You know, and the reason I bring that up is because Kishak goes, so if PlayStation made a waifu simulator with the graphic Concord, it would be a hit. Yeah, if this game had hot chicks in it, hit. Instant hit.
All right.
Gamers are pretty shallow like that. Yeah, or characters in general.
Or attractive characters in general.
Have a bunch of hot guys, hot girls, the shit will sell, man.
Yeah, I mean.
Manny, that's the game I'm talking about, First Ascendant. It's that Korean game that's out now.
It's a Korean game, right? Yeah, world. You can make a bunch of supermodels mm-hmm. running around.
People are tired of looking at ugly shit. You know,
I don't know if it's exactly ugly shit. You can, I mean, Wukong is not is kind of an ugly character, but he's got the cool factor, right?
Yeah, he's got the cool factor. Yeah, exactly.
So I feel like it doesn't matter if the character is ugly. It just it's more of it. Does the character have something cool and appealing about them? You could have a really large character. You know, but you can have some cool factor that says, okay, I want to play this guy. Like we go back to Overwatch. They have that one guy who's like a big fat, like kind of like pig themed like yeah. guy. Right now. And that he looks but cool. He looks cool. He's got like a cool he's got a cool gas mask. He looks like yeah. he, yes.
There's gotta be some level of, and I'm not saying attractiveness as in sexual, I'm talking about something that attracts your eye. Right. Even if the character is quote unquote ugly, if there's something exactly. cool about him, that works, right? There is nothing good looking about any of these characters in Concord. The characters look fucking ugly, you know, like in every sense of the word, you know, and nobody wants to see that shit. They want to see something that is cool, you know? There's a lot of factors. Ugly ass looking characters, boring fucking characters, a fucking genre that's way more than played out. $40, you got more like quote unquote, and I mean this in every sense of the word, more attractive hero shooters like fucking Marvel in every sense of the word, both graphically and gameplay wise, character wise. There's no reason to buy this fucking game, you know?
Yeah, and then when you're going against like games like Valorant and like Overwatch,
yeah,
it's a tough room.
And like you said, even Overwatch isn't Overwatch anymore, like the way it used to be.
Yeah, Overwatch. I feel like in general, like Overwatch is the go-to as far as you know when you think of a hero shooter. Mm-hmm. But I think Valorant is the one that really is the superstar right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brian. What are your thoughts on this, Ben?
Yeah, I just echo pretty much everything that's been said. Like when we first heard that this was a 5v5 hero shooter, like our you could feel the atmosphere on the chat just go from, okay, this might be interesting, to just no. And just why does this thing even exist? Because again, we all said, look, it's too late in the game. I mean, hero shooters have been played out. You know, it's like making like a modern warfare shooter, like a modern military shooter with multiplayer. It's like, yeah, that's been played out and done before. And done, like you can't just do that anymore, you know. It's not the time and place for this. Or it's like making a GTA clone or a Final Fantasy clone. Like that time frame is over and you really can't do that anymore. You can try to, but honestly, it's just gonna be extremely difficult and it's no longer in the zeitgeist. Like the window has been missed. And we said this from the start. So I'm really surprised that there are people out there that are confused as to why this didn't do well. And by people, I'm going to call them out by name because I think they deserve to be called Paul Tassi and Tom Warren.
Oh, man.
I have no idea. Like, if you claim to be a game journalist and you don't understand why Concord failed, then you are not in touch with gamers, period, in my opinion. Because, come on, like, if us here can tell you why it failed and you are quote unquote a game journalist and whatnot and you don't know why, then it's like then you are out of touch, like by definition. Like you literally are out of touch. Like if people are saying that we don't like this and you don't listen to them, then yeah, what do you call that? So yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
And I'll just state the obvious. The reason why a lot of these gaming journalists seem to fall within this category, it's not even just subject to Paul Tassi and Tom Warren. It's a whole bunch of people that have talked about this. The reason why they're all so confused is because they were all rooting for it, mm-hmm. and it wasn't because they thought it looked cool. And that's just all I'll say.
I'm gonna agree with what you're not saying. I know what you're saying, but you're not gonna say it. But I agree with it. but Brian, to your point, it's like it's pretty obvious to anyone with eyes why this failed. It's pretty obvious to anyone with a working brain why this failed. This isn't confusing, you know. But even now, I gotta call this shit out, bro. I'm looking on Twitter. I'll withhold the name here, but there's another gaming journalist saying, oh, even though Concord isn't doing great on Steam, it's doing great on PlayStation. It's number 42. I'm like, huh? That's supposed to be that. Hold up. Number 42 for a first party PlayStation game is good? Debut?
Yeah.
Oh, but Carlos, literally the reasoning is, oh, it's number 42 on PlayStation, but 511 on Steam. It's doing better on PlayStation. Huh?
Yeah.
That's not how numbers work.
That's just trying to, you know, grasp at straws.
Does that make any fucking sense? That's literally like going, oh, I don't like this juice from this apple. I prefer this juice from an orange. It's two different things, bro. Yes, they're both fruits. But it's fucking different.
Also, Steam as a platform is ridiculously much larger than PlayStation 5 is.
Okay, I got to read this tweet. My mind is blown. All right. Concord is selling much, much better on the PlayStation Store than Steam. Data reveals Concord is number 511 on Steam's bestseller list, but Firewalk's new shooter sits at number 42 on the PlayStation's top seller list. They're not the same. What the fuck? Go on, Rich. Go on.
In reference to that tweet, the rest of that tweet, what did he say is number 33 on that PlayStation list?
Yeah, Helldivers 2. Yeah, we're looking at the same thing, aren't we? Yeah, oh my God. So, yeah. I can't right now, bro.
And J-Ship, we have receipts for that, and it's not too long ago.
Where's my man J-Ship at? Is he in the building?
We talked about receipts last show. We definitely called this out day one.
I don't, Brian, jump in here, please.
No, we're not happy that it failed. It's just more a case of we all called it way in advance. And again, we've made jokes that that Sony canceled, canceled the Spider-Man multiplayer, they canceled The Last of Us multiplayer, and they're not doing a Bloodborne remake, but yet they're doing Concord. And we all just said, why? Like,
yeah,
those are things that people want more than Concord. Like, I'm certain that everyone here would be happy with at least two of those games in some sense, you know? So it was just all just lots of confusion as to why. And one of the things that I enjoy doing now is looking at the Steam charts and seeing other games that had a higher concurrent player count than Concord. So I looked at Richard's favorite game of last year, Redfall.
Oh.
The game that's good enough for Game Pass. Even that on Steam managed 1,500 players. So I thought, let's just keep digging because I'm sure that I can find some gems. Oh, here's one that's going to hurt, and it hurts me because I think it's hilarious.
Oh no,
Bleeding Edge.
Excuse me. Give us the numbers.
It's a very apt name because it's a deep cut. 828 peak players on Steam.
More than Concord, bro. Oh my God,
that came out 4 years ago, and it's just like, oh man, it's just. It's bad, you know, I do see quite a lot of weird defense from certain people. And the one tweet that I did see was from, and I'm going to call out another person. Like, this is Brian's call out day.
Yeah.
Paris Lily, of all people.
Oh, our boy.
Yeah. Now, he wasn't running full defense. He was running partial defense in the sense of he was saying that people shouldn't be happy that this game has failed as it may lead to more sequels and remakes and remasters. And obviously, that's a bad thing. And on that front, I do agree. However, I don't see... I never see Paris saying this about any other type of game apart from Sony games. And it's always certain types of games as well. It's like, where was this with Bleeding Edge? Where was this with Redfall? Again, you can say that I'm an Xbox guy if you want. I don't care. I'm just asking. Like, did he share a similar sentiment with those games when they hit the ground and died? Probably not. It's like, okay, Paris. So yeah, that's just my small thing.
I want to jump on something related. I've heard some people say that basically, the developers worked very hard on Concord, so we have to support it. No, we don't. Just because somebody put a lot of hard work into something doesn't mean that the thing that they worked on is good, right? So I definitely don't jive with that. And to that point, because I almost forgot about this, and thank you, Brian, for leading me down this path. So one of the developers went on Twitter and said, we worked very hard on this game. I'm very proud of this, blah, 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 blah. Somebody came on and replied, I feel really bad that you worked so hard on this game and no one's buying it, right? You know, he wasn't being an asshole. He was just, so I'm telling the truth. Then the developer said, he just shitted on him and then shitted on people that aren't buying the game. Like, yeah, that's a good strategy, That's a very good strategy right there. You shit on the customers. Okay.
I think that might have been what that person said is not very, doesn't have a lot of tact. He could have said that a lot bit better. And I can definitely understand why the developer got triggered on that. But yeah, calling folks name. Obviously the best way to do the best way to go about this would be to say, hey, number one, you don't need to answer. Number one, number two, also don't name. People in public are held to higher standards than just the normal people. What he could have said is, he could have constructed that a little bit better.
I want to read this because I don't believe the person that replied to him said anything out of touch. The developer said, it's Concord's release day. So insanely proud of the team and what they and we have accomplished. A labor of love like nothing else. I've been playing it so much since early access started a few days ago, and I'm so excited for it to be available to everyone. Then he says, and I'm honored to have had this be my first AAA game. It was a huge learning experience, lots of struggles, but I'm glad we have gone through them. Time to go play. This is what the guy said. And again, I don't think this was tactless at all. He goes, I'm sorry this has to be your first. I do not believe it is you or any of the other developers' fault that this game has performed so poorly. I can tell that a lot of effort was put into completing this game. It just came at the wrong time and genre. Perfectly valid. Nothing wrong with that,
That doesn't sound horrible.
Yeah, and this is the way the guy replied. So, Manny, the way I phrased it was tactless, maybe. But I think the way that guy phrased it was fine.
No, I do think that's fine. Yeah. I think that's fine.
This is what the developer says. He goes, I don't really care. It was a huge labor of love from a lot of insanely talented people making an awesome game. Why would I care about a bunch of talentless freaks hating on it? I'm sure having fun playing with it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Talentless freaks.
Now, see, again.
Here we go.
Now, that thing is unfortunate because there it's like, again, why does it need to boil down to name calling? Here's the thing. There's plenty, as somebody who has worked on a game that has utterly failed and has had people come down on the work that we did. I will say this. When you're doing this sort of stuff as for a living, you don't know what's going to happen. But to be honest, like you, even if your game doesn't hit or doesn't do what you think it was supposed to do, you're still supposed to use a bit of tact to it because you can also be possibly insulting a potential customer for your game.
Yeah. Oh, and
And even so, yeah. like even so, him clapping back at somebody looks awful because it's like, you know, it's in a way it's sort of punching down, you know, it's like, oh, well, we're so great. You know, we did this amazing thing. The big thing, he should have left it at more as, hey, you know, we did our best. You know, this is the thing, you know, glad it's out there to play and then call it done. That's it. He also didn't need to answer that that comment either.
Yeah. But go ahead, Rich. Go ahead.
And let me just make this quick comment because the plot thickens. This individual that you're talking about, he actually works at PUBG Studios now, so he doesn't even work at PlayStation anymore. He was working on it maybe throughout the 8 years, quote unquote, that this game was in development. Yeah, so he's not there, and of course, because of this comment he made, now his tweets are protected.
I was just about to say that. Yep, his tweets are protected. There we go.
I mean, number one, when you're creating things for the public, keep your fucking mouth shut. That's what I want to say. You know, you don't know who might be a potential customer. You don't know who might be like, you know, what. In other words, you know. Again, none of this is set in stone. Everybody's throwing shit at a wall to see what sticks. Obviously, this team and this whatever, they thought that this was something that might hit. But at the same time, it is the public that makes the decisions as to what something is, whether something is a success or a failure. No matter how much, you know, marketing you have, all these different factors. You look at Hollywood right now with these supposed surefire hits, and they're not hitting. It's because, again, you don't know what's going to happen. You make a decision 8 years ago. Hey, looter shooters are great. Let's do this. Oh, didn't work out. That's all you got to do. Like one thing, it's like you had the experience. This was your first thing. You know, and that's it. It's out there on the field. And it's going to get slapped around, and you just have to be okay with that stuff.
I will say one thing about this whole conversation and sort of leaning towards what Brian was talking about in terms of glow. It does sound like we're gloating in a way. And I will say this, the reason why we come off the way we do to some people that might be overprotective or in defensive of all this stuff, it's because we knew exactly why the game was going to fail, and it did. And no one listened to us, and no one is going to keep listening to us, and no one's going to understand the reasons why the game failed and only going to blame the gamers and then continue on making similar type experience or similar mistakes. And we're going to be talking about this all over again.
Yep.
And they're going to keep blaming us for the reasons why these games are failing instead of learning why the games are failing. And the people and the gaming journalists who's saying, oh, people are gloating. It's like, well, you dudes are doing a disservice to the game because you're not pointing out the reasons why the game is failing. You're doing the kumbaya shit all over again and saying, well, gaming is awesome. All these new IPs should survive and do gangbusters and do all this stuff. But we need to we also need to have a discussion about exactly why these games fail. And if we don't, then there's going to be more studios making games to target audiences that don't even exist anymore and failing as well. And that's why we're getting sequels upon remasters upon remakes.
Yeah. I should say we should have honest conversations because we are having conversations about these games failing, but they're not out being honest. They're blaming everything but the actual game. Oh, no, it's your fault this failed.
You know, like I remember when it was like, you know, you used to see like a director, right? Like, you know, like a John Carpenter, right? And he'll be like, put a film out like The Thing. And he'll say, you know, we put a lot of work into it, but you know what? For some reason, the audience just didn't click on it. You know, something to learn from, something to go move forward and try to make more things with. And that's the way it always had been. But now it seems like everybody's overly protective of their work. Number one, the first thing that you learn as an artist is, you know, putting your stuff out there, don't protect your work. let it, because again, you have no control as to what the public will think of your work, of the thing that you put out there. And if you're going to start getting butthurt every time something gets, you know, something gets a negative thing, then you're not going to survive that long. You're just going to continue to be angry and pissed about it, as opposed to legitimately looking at the factors that caused this to happen, because it's not that hard to see. Yeah. And just try to correct it. And that's all you can do.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you guys want to say on this? I'm going to take that as a no, so we'll move on. But, you know, we had to spend time on that question because this is another mess. But on the flip side, we got to talk about a success. You want to talk about a new IP that's successful? A new IP that's not only successful, but that the gaming journalists are against. Very interesting how this works. But I'm going to get more to that in a bit. Jumping over here, Mr. Eurocar9 has a couple of questions about Black Myth Wukong, people. All right, what do we think about the fact that the game has sold 10 million copies in 3 days, right? I'm going to say this. And I'm going to jump onto the other part, the other question too, because they're kind of related, I feel. Will the success of Wukong create a bilateral video game relationship between China and the West? Or would you lean more towards it being a once-in-a-generation type deal? Yeah, I think one of the, you know, we can't overlook this. One of the main reasons this game has sold so well is because of the Chinese players, right? Sold in China day one, and 88% of the players, you know, when I last checked, you know, were Chinese. And there's a lot of fucking Chinese people, you know? So I'm not surprised. And then, you know, on top of that, obviously you have a very beautiful-looking game. It's fun, you know, no modern day BS thrown in there, and everybody's happy, you know. Some game journalists aren't happy about it, you know. I'm not gonna name any names, but this is yet another instance of another Asian game coming out this year getting shitted on by Western developers, something we've seen many times before, you know. So yeah, I'm not here's the thing.
Western developers have been saying,
excuse me, Western journalists, excuse me. Thank you for the correction there.
Okay.
Imagine if someone, because we've seen that before too, haven't we? Some Western developers shitting on Eastern developers, you know? But no, this is just, you know, game journalists, very interesting how that works, isn't it? Game journalists championing Concord, the game flops. Oh, you guys are bigots or whatever the fuck. And then Wukong sells great. Oh, you're a bigot for buying it. What?
It's a weird thing. It's like, you know, it's literally the Chinese people telling their culture. What is it? I can't remember how old Journey to the West is, right? And you're literally having them tell their own stories. What's wrong with that?
Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, when you have developers from other countries making games that aren't very, you know, that aren't the usual type of game you see, you know what we call that? And I'm going to use the word in the actual sense, not in the modern stupid sense. Diverse. That's what that shit is, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you have, I mean, to be honest, it's like, this is like equivalent to like Japan making Ghost of Tsushima. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But again, like, I don't understand what the issue is. You know, obviously, you know, the CCP has huge issues, right?
That's not their problem.
With the things, but that's not. But in this sense, go ahead.
Okay, the reason why certain journalists, one in particular, is upset with this game is because they said that the game developer is misogynistic or whatever, right? But here's where it gets interesting, right? So apparently, 10 years ago, you know, they found some recruitment papers that they deemed to be offensive or sexist or whatever, right? But it turned out that the translations were wrong, right? So the journalist asked someone who is not a native Chinese speaker to translate. Then a native Chinese speaker saw the documents like, oh, that's not what it says at all. So the whole thing about this studio being, you know, evil or whatever is based off misinformation. Isn't that interesting? Mm,
so yeah, from what I did see some of the things about that, and they said some of it was in a very sort of joking nature, and it was sort of what did they call it? Like droll, Like, in other words, it's like equivalent to like people just peeking, you know, essentially releasing a recruitment thing and doing using a bunch of slang.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I got to ask the obvious, and I know we discussed this on a Thursday show. Why are these journalists getting so crazy about this? Some, you know, maybe some raunchy recruitment papers, yet they didn't say shit about Activision, what they were up to for years. Remember, our boy Jason Schreier, he knew all about those shenanigans going on. Actual harassment. He goes, I couldn't talk about it. Really? So yeah. So what's more important? Yeah, Carlos, you know, I know you talked about this heavily. So go ahead, man.
Well, you know exactly why. It's fucking access.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Game Science is a Chinese studio that has only made one AAA game so far, and that's it. So they don't have that much pull over Western gaming journalists. So yeah. when you have a conglomerate like Activision, well, now it's part of Microsoft, they needed that access. So they're not going to talk shit. Same, similar to how they're not going to talk about Sony leaks because they don't want to lose that access, or similar how they won't dare criticize Nintendo for anything because they don't want to lose that access. And that's all this is. This is a fucking dog. What do you call it? Dog and pony show or
yeah.
whatever.
No, that's right. Yeah.
It's all these people playing politics. That's all this is. It's fucking politics.
Right.
And people will talk shit about what is convenient to talk shit about. And they'll set aside the things where they don't feel comfortable, not because of the stuff that's being reported, but how it's going to affect their relationships with the access and with the developers and with the, you know, the heads, aka fucking Mr. What's his fucking game? What was the Bobby Kotick?
Yeah,
because these dudes are vindictive, and they'll blacklist anybody who dare speak against them. But now that they sold to Microsoft and Bobby Kotick's out of the way, oh, now everybody can report on the shit Activision has done.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, and you know, again, like, you know, and again, like, you got to also understand, like, why, you know, Jason Schreier is not going to release the information until it's convenient for him. Now it seems like he has this misconception about himself where he's altruistic, where he's somehow helping people. But if you were out there to help people, you would do that immediately. You would have said these things immediately. But
yeah,
you did exactly what all those people all those actors did.
Harvey Weinstein.
Yep. They all, and nobody's called any of these people out. This goes to Oprah Winfrey. This goes to every one of them. Friggin' what's her face from Death Becomes Her, who won a bunch of Miramax Academy Barbara Awards Streisand. And thanked that dude. But now Barbara Streisand, Death Becomes Her. Can't remember the name of the actress. Anyway,
yeah,
she. They all talked. They did all remained utterly silent. And then those who did speak, you know, they were all of a sudden they just disappeared from Hollywood. You know,
Meryl Streep.
Yep. She won so many. She won a bunch of awards. She didn't say a damn thing about any of that stuff when that was all coming out. She was very mum when it all came out. So,
yeah. By the way, not related, but since you brought it up, the Harvey Weinstein thing. But it is timely. Not about video games, but it is timely. Star Wars Acolyte, absolute bomb, failed. The producer of that series, Leslie Headland, was Harvey Weinstein's personal assistant. Yet nobody says anything about that. Isn't that interesting? If she was his personal assistant, she probably led some women, you know, to some uncomfortable situations. But we don't talk about that. Very interesting how that works. But to your point, people knew about this. It was an open secret. They joked about it.
Yes.
And just to circle it back to Bobby Kotick, people knew what was going on with Activision. Like Jason Schreier didn't say nothing, right? But like Carlos said, the access, they don't want to lose it. But with Game Science, they don't give a fuck about them. So now they're, you know, some people, this person even said that this was like the highlight of her career writing this article, but now they're off Twitter. Ain't that something? Right? The highlight of your career. Now you're off Twitter because of the backlash. Very interesting how that works, man. Anyway, it's to get to the other part of the question here. Do we think like this kind of success is a once in a generation thing? I think we'll see more of this. Like if China releases more quote unquote AAA games of this caliber, you know, I think it's very possible. So I don't think it'll be one generation. And if you keep getting games like this that are also promoted by the Chinese government, you're going to get big player counts, right? This is why, and kind of related, this is also why you've seen movies get so much money, like billions of dollars and shit, because of China, you know, bringing all this money and shit. There's a lot of people over there, obviously. So, yeah, I think you could definitely, I don't think it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I think you'll see it more regularly if we keep getting more AAA games from China, you know? So I think I'm not saying it's going to happen all the time, but I don't think it's going to be rare either, you know? But the Chinese aspect, go ahead, bro.
I had a conversation with Eurocar9 before the question was asked. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why the bilateral question was asked is not only just because of Chinese games, potential Chinese games coming out in the future and being accepted in the West. Because, I mean, you talked about 88% or something like that, Chinese to other players. But, I mean, 88% of 10 million, you know, the rest is still a lot, you know? So it was definitely a lot more than Concord. So we see that, and then we see the potential where it's like, Wukong did Gangbusters. Oh, what's going to be the next game? What is the CCP going to, fund next? But there's also the flip around, and I'm wondering, will this have an impact on Western games? Because when we talk about numbers and sales and all that stuff, China isn't really taken into account that much. So I wonder if this could potentially even open, a pipeline the other way, where there's a Chinese audience for Western games.
Yeah, like Hollywood started tailoring its movies to the Chinese audience. Like, will we see that with gaming? Right? Like,
they're gonna have to censor the shit out of Concord.
Yeah. they're gonna have to put different people on that cover. Mr. John Boyega would know about that.
And again, like those are the things that really are a problem, not whatever this game studio was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, and those are things that has to do with their own government. You know, again, we're not saying that they're angels. You know, they're trying to silence information, and that's even worse.
This is still the Chinese government, and it puts me in a weird spot because obviously I'm very anti-communist, don't like that stuff, but these guys are upsetting the people I don't like over here, and I like that, so it puts me in a weird spot. And the game's just generally good; it's a good game, communist or not, it's a good game. You know, but I will admit, seeing some of these people crying, kind of funny to me. Just putting that out there, you know.
I mean, I don't understand why championing any of these things, the success, like championing the in other words, making this making people angry is a thing, or championing the failure of that other game, Concord. And in the end, that doesn't make any sort of sense. What really makes sense is it hitting audience, and is somebody enjoying it? And people like to use that whole, well, if you're enjoying it, but yet they still want to, they still want to step on your Cheerios.
I find it funny that again, just like with Stellar Blade, you see headlines like this game is popular, but it's controversial, and I'm always thinking like, but the only reason it's controversial is because you guys are making it controversial. The players don't think it's controversial. It's you guys.
No.
You know?
No.
There wouldn't be a story if it wasn't for these guys, you know?
Yes.
It's all artificial. And then they're trying to make it controversial, but then they inevitably make the game sell better because of this, you know?
So would you say this is a artificial scarcity?
Like scarcity.
He's trying to scare.
I guess it is, but it's like you guys are hurting your own cause. You want these games to flop. Again, the same reporter, literally IGN reporter, mind you, is telling people not to buy this game. Okay,
what about all the developers that work their blood, sweat, and tears into the new IP?
It's a good point. Okay, so you're telling me that the Concord people worked harder than Game Science? Is that what you're trying to tell me? I'm just asking a question. You know, they worked. I'm pretty sure Game Science worked very hard on this game too. Don't they deserve their flowers? Just saying.
We, you know, if we don't want it to sell, we're just going to keep getting sequels and remakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But no, we're going to boycott that game. We're going to boycott a brand new IP from a new developer. No, we're going to boycott that because we want more hero shooters. Okay, bro. All right, moving on here, Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. Related, with all the talk around Black Myth Wukong developer Game Science, do you think it will just mysteriously be left out of the Game of the Year conversation, much like Hogwarts Legacy was in 2023? And then he goes, say what you want about the creator of Harry Potter, but it felt weird that one of the top-selling games of 2023 was almost completely ignored by the gaming press when it came time to talk about Game of the Year. Like, slight correction, it wasn't one of the best-selling games of 2023. It was the best-selling game of 2023. The best-selling game. We didn't talk about that game, though, because, you know, Ms. J.K. Rowling said some stuff they didn't like, you know? Very interesting how that works. So to answer the question, yeah, I think Black Myth Wukong, I don't think it's going to get as snubbed as Hogwarts Legacy because, you know, she went after the sacred cow that you dare not talk about. This game isn't doing that, right? So I think it may get snubbed in some cases, but I think it will not be as snubbed. I think you will at least see it nominated for graphics or something like that, you know, and probably win it too, you know? But you know, with the heart of your question, I 100% agree. Go ahead, Rich, and then Carlos.
Well, I just was going to say this is 1,000% going to be in the Game of the Year category. It's not going to win it, but it will be because they already got to have like at least 7 to 10 games they're going to throw in on that list like they do every year. So I do expect it to be on the list.
Yeah. Go ahead, Carlos.
I will push back on the whole Hogwarts Legacy narrative. like, obviously, there are people who dislike the creator because of dumb shit that she says. But the reason why Hogwarts Legacy wasn't nominated for Game of the Year is because 2023 was stacked.
Yeah, but again, you don't think the best-selling Game of the Year should have even been even discussed a little bit?
If it's not in the same tier as the other games, no. I mean, we talk about this about Call of Duty all the time. Call of Duty is always the best-selling game all the other years. Yeah. And that's never nominated. I think it was nominated like once, maybe.
Yeah, but that's probably they make them every single year. Like this was like the Harry Potter game that fans have been waiting for. And for the most part, you know, not talking about reviewers, like the fans really, really liked the game. You know, it was popular in that sense too, obviously. So and even as we said, like, yo, that graphics look fucking nice. You know, so
we still didn't play it.
Yeah, we still didn't play it because that, you know, we're not into Harry Potter. But I think this game wasn't bad. I think I know you're not implying that, but I just want to make that clear. I don't think you're trying to say that because it's kind of bordering on that, Carlos.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's not as good as the games that people actually were championing for that year.
Yeah,
you know, Baldur's Gate 3 is one of the best, you know, renowned games of the last 10 years. So is you know, fucking what else came out last year? Tears of the Kingdom. Like those types of games are the ones that people actually like really champion for these types of awards. Hogwarts Legacy is just a game that everyone enjoyed because they're Harry Potter fans and it was a good game.
Yeah.
But not because they thought it was what like some mind-blowing experience like that changed gaming.
Yeah, but I still think it should have been talked about, you know. But conveniently left out. And obviously, you know what happened last year when anybody did champion the game. They'd, you know, get attacked and stuff, you know.
Also, Spider-Man 2 came out last year, which was going to get championed by the Sony ponies because they had nothing else to champion last year.
I don't think they're going to go that far with Concord. You know, the Sony ponies.
The Astrobot is the champion this year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it will be slightly ignored, but not on the level of Harry Potter. That was just on a whole other level, you know. And who knows?
So, and then again, talking about somebody, you know, a title that is targeting a specific audience, right? Harry Potter franchise, right?
Yeah,
that's like, and a lot of people keep saying like, oh, well, you know, you need to go, you know, capture the wide enough audience. They were specifically targeting those people, the people who grew up with those movies and read
Harry
those
Potter
books.
Is the normiest of normie stuff, you know? And it did well because of that. Yeah.
And that's another reason why I didn't get nominated, because the people who play, who are into Harry Potter, not all are like the hardcore gamers. We talked about it even during this show. It's like the only one that played it was Brian, and that was because his girlfriend loves Harry Potter. So like it's like not even like something that we even considered, and I feel like a lot of other pockets of gaming don't even consider it because they don't take gaming Harry Potter games as you know hardcore. Whatever categorize,
yeah, like, they wouldn't
category
be.
Wish it would be.
Yeah. All right. So good question there. Moving on to a bunch of JSEP questions. I moved this one up the list here because it is still relevant. From what I've seen in this generation, Eastern games have been better than Western games. So why does it seem like Western games always get reviewed higher than Eastern games? Carlos already mentioned it, man. Access, bro. Simple as that. Access and you know, you're going to be biased to your region too, you know? So I think that's what mainly is. But again, like Manny and I have talked about, we've seen this plenty of times. There's exceptions, obviously. Final Fantasy, always going to be reviewed well and stuff. But for the most part, the Eastern games, Japanese games, you know, are like, they get way more scrutiny than like Western games for the most part. You know, there's exceptions, obviously, you know? Go ahead.
I do agree with that. That last statement, but I don't know if I agree with the premise of the question, because I mean, Elden Ring is the most hyped game ever, maybe. You know?
Yeah.
It's like
oh, but that game got scrutinized too, though. You know that.
Yeah, I mean,
not only by game journalists, but by either other fucking game developers, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the scrutiny is there, but I'm talking about just, you know, reviewing well and acceptance and you know, general critic reviews about the game. Like those it passed through flying colors. Yeah, there's always going to be these assholes that are going to critique something because of whatever reason. And obviously, Eastern games get critiqued from a subsect of people that for some reason have a fetish of critiquing Eastern games consistently. So yeah, it does get critiqued, but I don't agree with the premise saying that Eastern games get reviewed worse just because they're Eastern games.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to go that far. I'm going to say they do get more scrutiny. Again, like you said, even the most popular game of last year, of recent years, Elden Ring, right? Eastern game. It's very successful, but got a lot more scrutiny than a typical game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would personally use scrutiny more than review bad, because that's not the case, you know?
Yeah. Because we, you know, Like a Dragon also got reviewed well.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy. Wukong is doing pretty good, pretty good reviews. And I've been playing it.
Yeah.
And it's doing just as good as like I you know people have been saying it is.
Yeah. Although we gotta admit, Dark Souls games usually get higher scores than normal because the only people that play and review those games are fans. Let's just be honest, you know.
Oh yeah, it definitely gets that bump.
Because every you know, in most cases, most gaming journals are like, I'm not playing that shit. And then the one guy who's a fan, like, I'm reviewing that fucking game. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know, the whole part of, well, he, you know, that's his opinion, that Eastern games are better than Western games. Lately, I would agree with that, and obviously back in the day it was, you know. But Western games are falling off in a lot of cases. Look at Concord. Anyway, but we've discussed that plenty of times. You know, especially go listen to our Stellar Blade episode. We went into, detail about this shit. All right, so we're about another Eastern game. This is a question about Silent Hill, but he starts us off with Astrobot. Astrobot, is that a Japanese game?
It's made by people, a portion of people that did work for or from Japan Studios. Yeah. So theoretically, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes.
I forgot the name of I can't remember the name of the studio, though.
Yeah.
But it is a sort of
I want to say Wasabi, studio. But I know it's not that. It's something that reminds me.
It's, Huh? It's a Sobe.
Sobe. Sobe, there you go. That's what I was thinking about Wasabi.
and it is headquartered in Japan, so.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
All sense of the word, it is Japanese.
Yeah. Astrobot releases in September, followed by Silent Hill 2 Remake in October. How well does the panel think Silent Hill Remake will do? I don't know why you have to throw Astrobot in there. I don't know,
I think it's because of it's the Sony connection. Those are both kind of exclusives right now.
Oh, okay. Manny, what do you think about Silent Hill's exclusive remake? Think it'll do well?
I mean, after seeing the last trailer, like gameplay trailer, definitely sold me on it a bit more. But we'll see what it does when it comes out. Again, like Silent Hill fans are very picky and very hungry, so we shall see. I suspect it'll do pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, this is just anecdotal, just based off what I've seen, which could be very, very wrong. It seems like the Silent Hill fans are very upset about this game. A lot of character design choices, but who knows?
Well, that was the early, some of the early stuff, but I think some of the choices, like in other words, when they that was that initial when they showed a bunch of the characters before, but I think when people started seeing the actual gameplay and how things are sort of developed, a lot of them have been a little bit more sold. They're not as trepidous. Is that the word? Cautious.
Yeah, cautious. Go with that. Yeah,
cautious. They're not cautious about being as cautious. They're being cautious but optimistic, it seems like, at least from what I've been seeing online.
Yeah,
it's definitely been a switch since the last bit of footage they did, and they did definitely change up some of the way some small things since the previous trailer.
That's good. Anybody else have any thought? I don't really care about Silent Hill, so I don't really have a thought on this.
Yeah, quick.
Go ahead, Rich.
Let's go to Carlos first.
Uh-oh. So not about Silent Hill, but about Astrobot, since it was invoked in the question. Astrobot is going to do good. It's just one of those games where it's not it's a safe type of game. Like, I don't know. It's weird to explain it, but like you could tell it's going to be successful in terms of just like critically, it's going to be well received, and I think it'll do decent sales.
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
What do you call? Hold on. Go ahead, Rick. What do you call decent sales?
I gotta blow my nose. Good.
I will say 1 million plus.
Interesting.
Did we have a conversation about the sales numbers of this game before?
We did.
About this game?
Yeah, and did we put it in the accountability room?
We did.
Oh, let me see. Brian, you the accountability buddy tonight?
I don't know. I just want to know what your thoughts are, because you said decent sales, and again, we've talked about meeting sales expectations, so I thought, okay, let's actually put a pin on what you expect it to be, and then we'll see.
Oh, I see Jorgen Demon. Mm-hmm. So following the recent episode of Throwdown, I want to throw out some predictions. Astrobot will not sell more than 1 million copies. Brian, if you want to do a bet, I'm here for you, brother.
Oh, let's do it live on air. This game
is going to do 1 million, guaranteed.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, I think I have it. Okay. So the bet is, see, I don't know which way around this has to go, because both sides will actually lose. I thought maybe one side will have to buy the other one Concord, and it's like, no, both sides lose.
Brian, I got something for you. As far as the bet, if whoever loses gets to pay each other's beer whenever we meet. Like if we meet one day, the other person has to buy the other person beer.
Yeah, I can deal with that. Easy enough.
That's the definition of a friendly bet, you know.
Stretching on my hand.
I like that other one, you know. I got to play Concord.
Yeah, the Concord one is too brutal, man.
Too brutal, yeah. That's fucking, that would violate the Geneva Convention, you know.
I mean, that's a definition of lose-lose. Like, the person is receiving the game, and the other person is wasting their money for the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, definitely. I can agree with that.
Hilarious. I forgot what the hell we were even talking about. Anyway.
Rich was going to
go. Oh, yeah, Silent Hill. Go ahead, Rich. Yeah, go ahead. I completely lost track.
So first and foremost, a prediction. Silent Hill 2 will definitely do better than Concord. Okay? I can safely say that for a couple of reasons. Obviously, this is a survival horror game. It's going to have the benefit of it coming out the same month as Halloween. You also have the Until Dawn remake, which is launching in the same month also. So the horror fans have a couple of things to play on PlayStation in October. So my guess, though, is, yeah, and go to what Manny said earlier. I did see the recent gameplay video. It does look a lot better than it did when they first revealed it. So, yeah, I think it's going to do pretty well.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's move on. Another question. For some reason, this is for you, Carlos.
Uh-oh.
He goes, hypothetically speaking, in a world filled with magic and wonder, Sony releases the PS5 Pro in fall 2024 with at least three good to great games releasing within 6 months of each other. Would you forgive Sony for its first party drought?
No. I'll just say, hey, you guys have been doing good. But, you know, this whole Sony drought has been going on for years. It can't just be made up within a 6 month span.
Good point.
It just doesn't work like that. It's you know, it's like saying, you know, Microsoft, like, hey, we'll release one great AAA game that's going to define the generation. Will you forgive us for the last 15 years? You know, that just doesn't work like that. But I appreciate the question because it's more and more looking like a fantasy these days that type of scenario would uncover itself. But I wouldn't hold my hopes up high for that. But, you know, one can only dream. And by the way, GZDR asked two questions on the chat. He says, will Astrobot sell more than Knack, and will Concord sell more than Hellblade 2?
I think Hellblade 2 already sold more, probably. And that's on Game Pass, so that tells you something. Will it sell more than Knack? I don't know how much Knack sold, so I can't say.
Maybe. Yeah, I would say let me go look up Knack sales real quick.
Yeah.
And there's two Knacks, right?
So yeah, there's Knack. Yeah, what's it? Yeah, there's two Knacks. I'm surprised.
Shout out to Joey Tony, Polanco, Tony, you know? Cousin.
Yep. Joey Polanco. I think he's gonna roll up in a couple minutes. Like, I heard Knack, you know. Sales number. Okay, so Carl's looking up numbers for Knack. By the way, I would love to see Kishak real quick. I would love to see Colin Moriarty on this podcast to discuss the lack of first-party games on PlayStation. It would probably get spicy fast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Do you know why, right?
Because he thinks... I don't watch his show too much, but I know he's been saying that they have been dropping a bunch of first-party games consistently. Correct me if I'm wrong.
He's like, oh, well, they're releasing third-party exclusive games. So it's like, what are you guys complaining about?
Yeah, that's something like
why that. Does it matter that it's Sony first party or not?
Yeah, completely missing the point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to be honest, as well.
Yeah.
I mean, but to be honest, Colin has always been an apologist, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have him on. Anyway, go on.
No, we have an aversion to dickheads from Long Island.
Yeah.
I will say Astrobot will outsell Knack, even though I don't have any Knack numbers. I just have a good feeling. I could be wrong. I have a good feeling about this game.
The only Knack numbers that I could find are very spread out and relatively meaningless. For example, one is saying that it sold over 300,000 in the first 2 days in Japan. So, yeah, that's rather useless. And Knack 2 sold an estimated 67,000 in the first week. So it's kind of like there's no group numbers, so we have no idea.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Well, this one's interesting. Like, Rich, this one's really more for me and you, I guess.
Uh-oh.
In your respective careers regarding the gaming industry, without mentioning names or companies, has anyone ever asked you to do anything shady that goes against either your company's policy or your own personal policy? Interesting. Rich, you want to go first or should I?
I'm going to let you go first because I got to think about this one.
Yeah. Yeah, the short answer is no, never happened. and I know why you're asking this question, because there is this, I don't want to say myth, but there's this belief that, you know, that gaming journalists are like paid off for their like opinions, right? That's not the case. As I've said many, many, many times before, you know, if that kind of stuff is discovered that a gaming journalist is doing that, it becomes a big fucking deal. If there's any kind of collusion, let's not forget about Gamergate. When people sniffed that there was some collusion between a developer and a journalist, it became a whole fucking scandal, right? Anytime that happens, it's a huge scandal. Whereas with influencers, it's just a day that ends with Y, you know, because those guys are not all the time, but in some cases, legitimately paid off. You know, and they never reach that same level of scrutiny. So me personally, no, that would never, that has never, ever happened. I've never gotten an email, never came, nobody ever came to me face to face, you know, and said like, oh, what if you, if I give you this, you could do that. That's never happened, because if that were to happen, you know, that company would be in serious fucking trouble, you know, for doing that. And then I would be in serious trouble for accepting that shit. But thankfully, I've never been in that position. That has never, ever happened to me a single time. And I'm not just saying that to protect people. I'm being 100% super ultra honest. Never happened. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, all the people I've talked through throughout the years, that shit's never happened to them either. You know, with some fucking influencers, it may have been different stories, right?
Yeah.
But with games journalists, not only have I not had that happen to me, but I've never had a single other person tell me that's happened to them either. You know, but go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. So to piggyback off of what you said, I also will agree it hasn't happened to me. However, I will say this. What you said about the influencers, that is 100% accurate, mm-hmm. because I do know of a company that was paying influencers to promote certain stuff, certain games. And obviously, I'm not going to disclose. I just know this because someone I know who works in PR informed me of that. This was several years ago. This is before a lot of stuff started happening in the industry. But I there are some companies that do that. But no, I haven't done any of this stuff. I haven't been approached about any of these opportunities. But yeah, I have heard of certain stuff with influencers doing things for money. So
wasn't that Machinima, that whole thing with Machinima, one of those deals?
I believe
years
so.
Ago.
Yeah, I think it was. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, where in other words, it was they and it's the whole reason why. You know, YouTube videos have to actually disclose whether they've been sponsored before the video starts. Whereas they made, I guess Machinima made all these deals where a bunch of their guys could essentially have these sponsored videos, but you'd never tell them that they'd never tell anybody that they weren't sponsored and paid for.
Yeah.
This scandal has already happened with influencers when, in for games journalists, there hasn't been any sort of situation where this has happened at all.
No. And again, the instances where it almost has happened or has happened, it's a big fucking scandal, huge scandal, you know. But I will say this, though, because this is worth bringing up, right? That isn't to say that gaming journalists haven't on occasion altered what they've said in order to maintain access. I'm calling people out right now, right? When we had Greg Miller out there saying, oh, we can't talk about the Insomniac leaks, that was because mm-hmm. him and similar people did not want to lose access. So that type of shit can happen. And I'm 100% against that shit. The only reason Throwdown didn't report on it is because we're on fucking vacation. The first thing we did when we came back, we talked about it, you know? And even back in my offices, you know, I'm working for tech brands. We're all like, the fuck kind of shit is that? You got to report on it, you know? But so there are cases like that where some journalists will be, have kid gloves with certain developers that they're friends with to maintain the access. That, and you've seen that in full display, you know, but like an actual company coming to you, I'm going to give you this much money, say, give me a good review. Doesn't fucking happen. Doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, yes, that is a thing that can happen. Where, in other words, because a journalist, you know, revealed something that didn't get revealed. We saw this happen with Kotaku in years ago with EA, right? They didn't get any EA games because they released a bunch of leaked information. Yeah. But to be honest, I'm going to say this. Those are the consequences that come with reporting. If you are afraid, if you could call yourself a reporter and you're sitting on for information, right? You know, you putting out that information, yes, that will definitely, you know, that will most definitely cause them to not to essentially omit you from the thing. But again, in game journalism is like, are you too good to go and buy the game and do the review of? You know, most companies have stipends. You know, they could just be like, okay, we'll put this on the company thing so that we could have this review out there. You know,
yeah,
these are things that can happen. So I don't. Again, there is a consequence to reporting, and not everybody. You know, a lot of big journalists, like not in the gaming journalism space. You know, like big have you know put out this information and been you know blacklisted by the actual company or been slain. Essentially tried to sue. Being you know essentially this company tried to sue them. These are the things that come with being a journalist. And if you're trying to play both sides, then you can't really fully call yourself a journalist.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. All right.
Because you can't be everybody's friend, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it is. You're going to make some enemies sometimes. It happens, you know? Echo Crimson, what's going on, brother? He goes, either do your job or shill. What is the question? That's funny. All right. The last question here from Mr. J. Shep. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff Keighley hosts 3 gaming awards shows a year. Do you think gamers will eventually get tired of him? Oh, we've been tired of him, right? And I want to bring this back a little bit. Yeah, yeah. I want to bring this back a little bit because, you know, and this is something Jay Shep admits too. He hasn't really, he's only recently been keeping up with gaming news. So he has a lot of knowledge that he may not know about. So what he doesn't know is that Throwdown has been making fun of this guy ever since this podcast started, even on SDFU and Play back in 2012, because we're saying the same shit about him back then. Excuse me? That came from him, you know? So we've always been clowning on this guy. No gamer takes this dude seriously. It's just, I know we sound like, I'm sounding like a hater, but I'm just being honest. No gamer takes this guy seriously. The reason that he is everywhere is because he's very safe. He is the Ryan Seacrest, the Carson Daly of gaming, right? You put him so he's presentable. He's not going to offend anyone. He has no opinions unless it's about Kojima. And, you know, generally he's safe. Those kind of personalities always work well. So gamers have been tired of him for decades. But these companies that work with him, they're not tired of him. And he already has his, like, you know, tentacles in the gaming industry so deep, all these connections and stuff. You're going to keep seeing more and more of him, you know. So it doesn't even, again, most serious gamers don't give a fuck about Jeff Keighley. But he's already too deeply entrenched, so he ain't going nowhere. You know, but we've been talking about this for well over a decade, you know? Even back in the war zone, the video game war zone, they were clowning on this guy back in the late 2000s, you know, when that show first started with Torrance Davis and Hip Hop Gamer, you know? So this isn't new, you know? Shit. I remember him go ahead, bro.
He had his high moment when he was defending Mass Effect in the news. Remember?
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Yeah, Mass Effect. By the way, Mass Effect, the first one. You know, I remember that. But yeah, Jeff, again, he's the safe presenter. He's just, you know, that's his role. You know.
Yeah, that's why he gets those things, because he's not going to do anything to offend any of the studios. He's going to play the game. This is precisely what we talk about. Remember what we talked about, where certain a journalist may lighten the blow when it comes to constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff Keighley is playing that sort of game. He's not going to come after any one of these studios. And you saw it when all the firings were happened. And Jeff Keighley, supposedly the spokesman for gaming, said absolutely nothing.
He didn't
people
say
were
shit.
Getting fired. People were all kinds of stuff were happening to people. And he didn't say a damn thing. You know, again, like I always say, it's like, okay, if you're the supposed spokesman of gaming and you want to, you know, promote the industry and all that sort of stuff, why doesn't he have a fund to sort of help people like this? You know, if these people supposedly matter, or are you just another star fucker? Where you just want to be, you just want to be close to Kojima and all the other guys that you sort of admire. But what about all the people that make those people go? Kojima doesn't make those games himself.
Yeah,
you know,
it's interesting.
You know, I'm a big fan of him, but I'm going to say this: it's not only about Kojima; it's about the people that allow him to fulfill those dreams and put those things out there.
You know,
yeah, that's what it is, man. It's like Kojima wouldn't be anybody if he didn't have his developers or Shinkawa or any of the other people back there, you know, programming the games. He doesn't program games, he's the director.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, how come we're not talking about these, and I'm not talking about Kojima's people, he's not firing people, and I'm talking about in general. You supposedly love all these games and you love the industry, but yet no, you don't want to call out these people, these things that are going out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
But again, he is playing the game. He is going to be the only time he's ever going to do anything that's out of character for Jeff Keighley is when they affect the people that he likes. So Kojima gets a heartfelt speech, you know, about how this company is destroying him and all that other good stuff, right? But he's not going to do that for anything else, and that's what is always going to be.
Well, man, it's not only just that. It's the Kojima thing plus. Well, I'm going to knock on, you know, Konami. It's not you know, you're not going against Sony here. It's Konami. So
yeah,
it's much easier
to go against. In other words, he can kick them to the curb because they're Konami and they're not they're not PlayStation or they're not Xbox. He starts to mouth off against those guys. All of a sudden, there's a big space in his show, right?
Yep. Yeah.
They're on the board. They're on the approver, the approval board. If anybody's ever bothered to look at any of that stuff, Kojima's on there. Those Microsoft folks are on there. PlayStation folks, all the major studios are on there. You think he's gonna step on his own money by saying mouthing off against these people? They fund his show.
Yeah. The issue with me, and you guys know, I have a long track record of hating on Jeff Keighley.
Yeah, your anti-Keighley speeches are always my favorite, so I'm looking forward to what you're about to say now. Legendary, even.
He's just one of these guys that tries to present an image that is not him. Jeff Keighley is the ultimate capitalist, where he wants to succeed and do be the best. He wants to do the Pokemon theme song. He wants to be the best there ever was. And that's why he left E3, because he wanted to do his own thing, and he wanted to be under his terms, under his vision, him generating the most capital for him. This is the Jeff Keighley show. Summer Games Fest is the Jeff Keighley show. The Game Awards is the Jeff Keighley show. Why the hell is he hosting the show also? Like, that's another thing. He's hosting, he's creating, he's the executive producer. He does everything. He connects to the host. So, like, he does not do it for, like, the way he is presenting it to people is like, oh, you know, it's for the industry. Like, you virtue signaling people, it's for the industry. I'm trying to help developers. I'm trying to help the middle, the smaller folks. I'm like, motherfucker, the only reason you're helping out the smaller folks is because the only ones that give you content.
Yeah.
So that's the whole shtick. And it's like, I would appreciate it if he was more straightforward. Yeah, Dorito Pope. Dorito Pope for a reason. And there's a reason why all of these things have a million fucking commercials. Because he doesn't have to do a video game award show this elaborate in a stage in Los Angeles. You can do a video game award show on a stream somewhere. But why does he do it? Because the bigger spectacle is what's going to, and have, you know, having all these people in one place, it makes it a bigger event, which, you know, gets people wanting from bigger studios to get announcements there, which he gets to put more commercials into this place. That's why he gets all the money. That's all this is about, man. And I hate, you know, when people try to put in a face that is not them, and it's, you know, your ambitions are seeping through your pores, and I could tell right away, and people, you know, fall for that shit. And that's just life. That's not just Jeff Keighley issue. It's, you know, it's just people who present themselves as, you know, trying to do something for something that they're not. It's always goes back to about them.
Yeah, no, 100% right, man. Well said as always. All right, man, moving on. Last question of the night from Mr. Kishak, who's been hanging out with us all night. All right, do you guys think that the handheld console market is more price aversive and therefore would be difficult for PlayStation or Xbox to release a high-end handheld above $400 without facing some backlash? A PlayStation handheld that could play natively PS4 games doesn't sound cheap at all to make. Yes and no. Here's the thing. Let's take the Steam Deck, for example, right? More or less, it does play PS, you know, games around PS4 level. And I say that because, like, when I played God of War, which is a PS4 game, played it at 720p, 30 frames. You could bump it up if you want, obviously. And it played pretty well. Plays very well, actually. PS4 comparable. So those type of machines already exist, right? But, you know, as you said, it's more than $400. But I'm being cautious about it. What is the price of the cheapest Steam Deck? Does anybody know?
I'll go check.
I wouldn't recommend that one because of the shitty hard drive.
SSD.
Yeah, SSD. It's not even an SSD, though. That's the thing. But regardless, a lot of the gaming handhelds are around $500 to $700, right?
$399
for the cheap. Okay, so there you go. So you actually can have PS4 level graphics for $400, right?
Oh, shit.
What's up? Yo,
my bad, Tony. $349 for the cheapest. 64 gigs? What the hell?
Yeah, so that's why I wouldn't recommend that one. Not only because of the storage, but the fucking... But you could also buy a better SSD and storage for it and be good. But regardless, yeah, generally speaking, handheld consoles are $500, $700, some a little more, a little less. So people are already used to paying that. So I don't think if like Xbox or PlayStation dropped one that was of those comparable prices, people would be up in arms because like, oh, that's how much Steam Deck costs, that's how much the ROG Ally costs, that's how much the MSI Claw costs, that's how much the Lenovo Legion Go costs. So I think they could get away with it, you know? But I would be interested to see how they would do it, you know, like, because you would have to scale the games to play on that form factor. And Carlos, as you know, it's not just a matter of flipping the button up and down, you know, for the graphics. Mm-hmm. You got to do a little more.
Scale it up.
Scale it. It's just about scaling. But I do think if either of them or both of them could do it, I think it would do well. You know, think about it like this, right? The fucking PlayStation Portal. That thing is selling like gangbusters, and it sucks. But why are people buying it? It's a PlayStation, quote-unquote, handheld. Imagine a real one that could actually play PS4 games or maybe PS5 games. That would sell pretty well, you know, but a machine that runs native PS5 games, that might be a little... That would be expensive, but they could do it, you know? Go ahead,
man. Yeah, and the whole reasoning why Sony didn't do this or hasn't done this already is because they're scared of having a Vita situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to worry about that anymore. You know why? Because the new paradigm when it comes to handheld gaming is that it's almost in parity with the actual consoles, because those games are being played on these handheld consoles.
Yeah.
It's not like the Vita or the PSP where it's like, you needed your PS3 games, and you needed your Vita games. They were not the same. They were not scaled down. Mm-hmm. They were not scaled up. It was a game created just for this specific handheld. Not anymore. These games that are coming out for the, you know, that are being played on the Steam Deck, the ROG Ally X, all of these are, I mean, and the Switch is just the one console. But all of these are just being played on multiple consoles, you know,
yeah,
on the go, on your home. So there's not that worry about, you know, having to make games anymore. You already have not as many because, you know, Sony first party's been lacking the last couple of years, but you still got games.
Yeah. GZDR says at $500, they might as well make it a phone with an attachable controller. But people don't want that. And again, machines like the Asus ROG Ally are selling very, very well because what they're doing, it's a handheld. Obviously, there's the whole Windows 11 issue, which I've talked about at length. But no, people, again, these machines are selling for a reason. These manufacturers keep dropping these machines for a reason. It's because there's a demand for them. That's why I don't think it would be a bad... Even Sony, they dropped that piece of shit and it's doing well. There's a demand for this stuff. So if done well, I think it'll succeed. But I agree with you, Carlos. You can't just be like, oh, it only has these specific games for it. It has to be whatever you're playing on your console. I don't think people are going to accept anything else now. You know, because that's the whole promise, right? Oh, you get to your hand. That's the whole reason the Switch did so well. Take your games on the go, you know, not on the Switch level. No, obviously it's not going to sell on the Switch level. But for the people they're targeting, and you know, that's a little bit of a straw man argument, I got to admit. Nothing's going to sell like the fucking Switch. What is that sold, like 140 million copies or whatever units? Like, no, that's not even close. But they're marketing a different audience. They're marketing people who want higher-end graphics, who aren't afraid of maybe diddling around and doing some modifications and stuff. So you can't expect the same sales. Very different audiences, bro.
Well, not only that, but that the Switch is the only place you can play those games.
Exactly. You know, so I think they would succeed. Sony already proved it with that. They released shit and it sold well. You know, but yeah, that's what I got to say about that. Anything else you guys want to say about that or anything else? I'm gonna take that as a no.
Pretty much covered it.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Rich, what's going on with the Coalition, man?
Sorry about that. There technical is. Issue.
Oh.
So, it's a very busy time of the year. We're coming into the fall season with all the busy gaming holiday stuff coming up. I am going to be attending PAX West next weekend.
Nice.
So actually leaving Thursday night. Oh, yeah. That's going to be a lot of fun. I am going to be leaving Thursday night, so I may not make the show on Thursday. But certainly we'll have a lot to talk about when I return. In the meantime, we have a lot of content dropping this week on the website. Obviously, you know, we're going to have some thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws, which comes out later this week. As well as Visions of Mana, and a couple other things. And also, shout out to Mr. Adam Vale, because he actually did a review of Prince of Persia on the Steam Deck that's currently on the website. I know I had reviewed the game on Xbox earlier this year, but yeah, if you are curious how the game performs on Steam Deck, definitely check out his review on the website right now. But yeah, stay tuned. A lot of stuff coming. This is the fun time of the year, so just get ready.
There you go. All right, man. And as you already know, episode 500, people. This Thursday, going to be a big, big show. We're going to have some special guests. We're going to try to get Adam on, obviously. Torrance Davis, maybe Hip Hop Gamer. Riku-san, you know. We're going to have everybody here, man, to celebrate 500 episodes, 10 years of... Volume 2 of Throwdown, as this iteration is called, should be good stuff. We're probably not going to do any giveaways that episode, but as I said, if the PS5 Pro drops, we will do that giveaway before the end of the year. You best believe that. We have enough money in the coffers for that. Thanks to you guys, you know, for the bits and all that good stuff. So we will reward you with a console if actually real. You know, we got to have Jagon. I don't even think Jagon's alive, bro. You know, but I would love to have him on. Jagon, he likes to play with dragons. You know, oh my God. So, yeah, episode 500 of both Throwdown and Throwdown Your Questions. And Throwdown Your Questions, people, get ready. Ask us those AMA questions, people. You already know. So, get ready. That's going to be some good stuff. So, yeah, good stuff, man. It's going to be fun. Going to be fun. Anyway, we are done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the conversation where the rumors and the conversations and all that good stuff is always popping. You can also find us on any podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, that's two words, Throwdown Show. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and like the videos, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when we go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
It's been 3 years since Insomniac released a teaser trailer for Wolverine, and we still don't know shit about it.
Oh my
God. I don't want to hear anyone else complaining about any other studios releasing the games and the trailers too early, because this is over 3 years and it's unacceptable.
Good point. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday. Episode 500 is coming. Later.
Later.